You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Sasfin Wealth's David Shapiro to take a look at some of these movements. Good evening, Uncle David. Lovely to speak to you. It looks as though today was very much a Johann Rupert day. And I want to start with your thoughts around the Rainbow unbundling. Of course, I've got a conversation with Rainbow a little later on. But RCL Foods moving in reaction to or in response to that unbundling that will officially take place on Monday. Share prices moving today. That's the first of his announcements, or the announcements from Johann Rupert's side.
Yeah, RCL Foods lost about 15% today, which was the unbundling. There wasn't much trade, Jimmy. There was very little trade, around about 1.3 million, so not a lot of shares, 342,000. I suppose people haven't got their shares yet, so they're not going to trade until it comes into their account. So I think we'll probably see trading pick up down the line. You know, it's not going to be an easy listing. I know that, you know, we've seen from one can't compare them directly to Astral, but we've seen the difficulties that this industry faces. It's a commodity company. They're a very large business, which you'll hear, significantly represented around the country and that. But all commodity companies like this do face problems, from feed problems to the actual price of chickens, because it's an international commodity. So you've always got the threat of imports and so on. But anyway, give them a chance. We'll see. I think your conversation will be very interesting. So.
The business certainly is looking good. I mean, poised north of several billion rands in market cap now that we have this listing price. We kind of saw we targeted around R2.85 listing. We got as high as R3.60 at some point. So it definitely does look like the market is going to be receptive toward this. I suppose we are waiting for Monday, where those shares are officially allocated. Let's move on to the other announcements from one Mr. Rupert. The LVMH owner has decided to buy into Richemont. Now that's a mammoth move, because it's not often that you see a billionaire saying, I want to buy another billionaire's company.
Well, it's in the clock side of it. they bought this very specialized clock company, I think, which is objects to art and so on. So it's very difficult to get a grip of where LVMH are going now. You know, they still have exposure to watches, so it's not outside of their ambit and that. But I'm not quite sure where the new management is taking it. And I must say, I've been a big fan of LVMH's for a long time. But they're certainly upping their strategy, almost to build these kind of museums, you know, where you're going to go in and it's going to be a luxury museum. We're just going to feel compelled to spend. But this is a move, you know, that just upping it into that area, because we've mainly associated them with leather goods, you know, with the bags and also with fashion. So, yeah, look, and credit to Richemont. They've been a big performer. Hey? They're giving all the other luxury companies a bit of a run this year. They've generally lagged, but great performance. So, yeah, good for Mr. Rupert.
I remember reading an interesting stat about the performance of Richemont, or at least of the Cartier brand, saying that in the luxury watch space, Cartier ranks only second to Rolex in terms of sales globally. So they're effectively not a small fish by any stretch of the imagination. And I suppose that might be what draws some of the interest as well, is the Richemont business the Rupert family has built over decades. And it's certainly not going to be another Hermes case where LVMH thinks they can just walk in and kind of take over. They might find that from Remgro's side, at least, there's going to be quite a bit of resistance, even if it's not directly from Mr. Rupert. I suppose it will
Don't
be.
Put them in the ring together.
I mean, it's going to be fun to watch.
He's only a little man. You know that? He's only a little man. And Johan is quite a strong character in all characteristics and that. But, you know, credit to Richemont. And, you know, Jimmy, you know what's I always find it interesting, and I always retort, you know, with the same statement I'm going to make now. Ever since it was unbundled from Remgro many years ago, I think it could be over 30 years already, etc. Everybody said, oh, it's too expensive. Oh, it's too expensive. And all that happens is it gets more expensive every year. And so you keep missing it. You know, and there are years where it just kind of plods sideways depending on what the global economy is doing and that. But you can't fault the quality of their brand, the quality of their watches. And as you say, they've got Van Cleef & Arpels, they've got Cartier. Cartier is a massive brand. You know, Rolex is a private company still, but so we can't really, I don't think you can value it. We don't know what they make, or it's certainly not. I suppose if you dig deep, you might find out what the size of the company is. But I mean, you know, Cartier is a massive name as well. Hopefully as things improve here, improve, you know, globally, we're going to get back to demand for luxury. But this LVMH, yeah, it's an interesting step. Mm-hmm.
Definitely an interesting time to be looking at things. And while we're looking at billionaires, let's go 3 for 3 and look at a slightly different billionaire, Dr. Christo Wiese's Brait. Their recapitalization program is absolutely being loved by the market. The share price responding quite well to that today.
You know, we forget that Wiese was one of the, I would say that one of the founders of Brait, you know, what's it, 6, 8 years ago, I can't remember when they first came onto the market. He was a massive shareholder there, and I think largely responsible for buying Virgin, for buying New Look and that. He was actively involved in Brait. And then I think other things took his mind off, maybe the start of affair, who knows. You know, and he had to retire in that. So he's not a newcomer there. I'm trying to remember, and I'm a little crusty on this one. I always thought that he sold some shares into Brait for Brait shares, which they then sold onwards and that. But I might be out of it. You know, going to need someone like Wayne or somebody else with a younger mind, you know, to recall what happened in those days. But he's always been involved in this, so he's not a newcomer to Brait.
Mm-mm. Certainly isn't, and this despite the fact that there's obviously been that announcement of that overhaul that was announced in 2019 around lightening some of the load that's there. I suppose the different decisions happen at different times, and for each of these individuals and for the shareholders, it's just about making the right decision at that right time with whatever information you have. Uncle David, what happened to some of the other share prices today? I mean, I'm having a look at just the overall consensus doesn't seem to be. It seems as though we had that rally. There was a bit of euphoria around, oh, this is what we're going to get. And now it's, okay, let's wait for actually seeing what we're going to get first.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought there would be a follow through, that we'd see quite a bit of action coming through from foreigners, from local investors. But they seem to have gone a little cold. And I wouldn't brush that aside. I think also the dollar's got stronger. So the rand is... the last time I looked around about 18.20 to the dollar. Remember, we thought it would improve significantly. But it's also a strange time of the year as well. I'm just watching U.S. markets and global markets, and there's a lot of churning, a lot of volatility as we get into the second half of the year. I think also what happens is that certainly in the U.S. it's holiday time, vacation time, people, you know, ready to go. So I think what they do is they sell off positions and, you know, off to wherever they're going. They're going to flood Venice and Rome and, you know, around the world when the Americans come. So maybe when, you know, when things get back in August, September and that, we'll start to see things settle down. But for the meantime, it's been a very difficult market to get a grip on. And I think we're just catching the cold. You know, we're just seeing the other side of it. So values have come down a little bit from the very heady volumes that we saw. And as you say, you know, some of the shares are just starting to give back those gains that we were so excited about the last couple of weeks.
Uncle David, something else that's moving. Markets are very, very trippy at the moment. I'm looking at the gold price, and this has just been sort of in one directional flow for the last little couple of days. I mean, it's down almost a percent for today. 2,300 is a bit of a support level that we have tested a couple of times, but there doesn't seem to be any upward momentum. I mean, there was a bit of a flurry to safe havens where Middle East tensions started to escalate. But as that de-escalation kind of happens, or as markets get used to that, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of real momentum around this.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. People are, their minds, it's like us in December. Our minds, you know, on the coast, on going somewhere, the kids are breaking up, off to camp, whatever it is. And it's, you know, it's the end of the school year and they have a big break. And I think that's why. So you've seen Bitcoin come under pressure. And what happens is people don't want to hold positions. You know, they want to lighten their positions before they go on holiday. So I think you might find something associated with that, particularly in a lot of the trading stocks. And gold, probably one of them. You know, although we've associated gold price with central banks buying and other issues. But generally, just news seems to be very thin at the moment, you know, market-moving news. And as we come into this half year, which ends Friday, you know, for a lot of institutions, I think after that, I think it's going to get even slower. So I think there's just a lot of position taking, balancing, you know, position balancing as well ahead of it. We can also go on holiday then. Just close off.
but then, how do you come back? Because just as quickly as the liquidity or the interest kind of disappears, when it comes back, you almost miss that, and you find yourself saying, "Oh, but it was quiet just a week ago, and now suddenly everything's moving."
Yeah, we watch markets all the time, and you'll start to see, you know, when the time comes back. I think when all the US institutions get back from the Hamptons and all the various places, you'll see them starting to trade again, and volume pick up and volatility pick up and so on. Remember, we're going into we're still going into earnings seasons again, so we got to get through that. I'm talking US. You know, next week is the end of the second quarter. And within 2 weeks, we start to get the bank's results. And so we go all over again. Now we have to wait for Nvidia's results. You know, are they going to surprise the market upwards as well? So I think that cycle will come back. But I think in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be pretty, pretty quiet.
Pretty quiet is a good time to take a break, because when it does come back, things are going to be quite busy. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we're in for a good market, don't they?
Second half of the year. We're ready for second half.
Those rate cuts are coming.
Are we going to get more than one? Are we going to get more than one rate cut?
Yes. Ooh. We'll get two and even more. And I think in the US, definitely. I think we're starting to see slowdown in a lot of the data coming through. I just looked at new home sales today, a terrible number. And somewhere along the line, the Fed's got to say, okay, we can't let this go too far. You know, even though it's resilient, even though the consumer's resilient and the job market's resilient, I think there are other issues that will persuade them. So September, December, September, November, December, around there, probably overall two cuts here in the US.
That's the level of optimism I'm looking forward to. That's exactly what we need. We'll keep an eye on these movements and catch up soon, Uncle David. Lovely to speak to you as always. David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth joining me to reflect on the market movements, as well as the fact that the second half of the year is definitely going to be better.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.